Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
I'm Brita Ostrom, and I've worked in bodywork and psychotherapy out here on the California coast. Maybe you can hear the sound of the surf crashing below me. I'm lucky enough to be at the Esalen Institute, and I'd love to find out more about you and this worldwide movement toward embodiment. Thank you, Zoom, and thank you, Mark, and thank you, Tom. My heart is really full at this moment because I get it. I get the legacy, the generative quality of embodiment, of re-owning our birthright, recognizing the sustaining wisdom of our body. I'm broadcasting from the home of the Human Potential Movement, where in 1962, when the Esalen Charter was drawn up, the intention was to be the practice of meditation, the study of psychology, and somatic education. That's us. Now, nearly 60 years later, you have 800,000 enrollees. Now, that's a success story. And yet, if you're in the audience and you've tuned into this off and on over the last several days, you'll know that we've just scratched the surface of this enormous potential, the re-owning the body as part of the body-mind-spirit complex. So I'm happy you're here. To the topic of this talk, the embodied healer, trust and the Esalen practitioner, to the topic of this talk and that elusive word, healer. I've often wondered myself, after sitting with people all these years, after touching them, after working with the homeless and working with governors, I've wondered if I'm a healer, just as you may wonder if you're a healer. Some people are born healers. And those people are often just like their aunties. They grew up in the tradition. That's another category. I don't do anything magical. Once in a while, I swing a few dried herbs. But for the most part, people do feel better, and some in the most surprising ways, things that I could never have possibly anticipated. I'm going to entertain you today with the notion that healing is something that is developed. That it's developed over time with very simple steps, one foot in front of the other. Each of you has this capacity if you choose. You develop your inner, your healer by developing yourself fully. So it's really not such easy homework. You got to be willing to step up to the plate. Self-development comes first, being clear enough to trust your own perceptions. If you think about it, that means I need to take care of myself first and foremost. I need to put on my own oxygen mask before I even begin to get yours down. After that, reflection and soul searching naturally follow. Finally, to be a healer, that means I'm willing to reach out. To actually bond with you. It can't be something I just do to you. And I'm willing to ignite and be with you as that inner fire of healing begins to burn. Bonding that neurotransmitter oxytocin that makes a family out of a man, a woman, and a baby, or a couple out of two people who like to have sex together, or a successful healer-patient relationship. It also enhances the immune function, and it wards off cortisol, which you will all recall is the product of stress. Am I a healer? Sometimes. Are you a healer? You tell me. I'm going to give you some time to ponder that question, and you jot it down for yourself right now at the beginning of this talk. Yes, no, maybe. Are you a healer? And as part of this journey, we're all at this conference. It started out small and it grew larger and larger, and I kept getting these emails, to the largest gathering of its type in the world. And yet, body work is all about intimacy. I really only have my body. That's what's up close. That's what's personal to me. And I know about my body. I started learning in utero when I could hear my mother's voice, the voices of people around me, the languaging. And then as I was born, I was held, I was diapered, I was lulled to sleep. And I began to find that my body was, number one, personal to me, number two, something I needed to pay attention to. It could be hurt. And I didn't want to share it with everybody. Have you ever seen little kids just go, no, no, I don't want to let you be close to me? As we grew up, even we learn more about pleasure and pain, and sometimes we hide away those places that are just too, we don't want them to be part of everyday conversation. I'm going to tell you a little story. A couple years ago, I arrived to teach a workshop at a conference, and I got in late at night. Nobody was up. So the next morning, I'm being shown around, and I go, wow, this is a really big meeting room. What's up with this? And they said, oh, by the way, you have 80 participants in your massage workshop. I was expecting about 20. And so I start to think, 80 participants, how am I going to build an intimate field that's safe for 80 participants? And, you know, I just don't have an answer. So I brought it to the group. How can we create intimacy with such a big group? And everyone loved the topic. They got right on board. They created ground rules. They looked around at each person with respect. They paid attention close up to their partner, and the ship sailed beautifully. We're kind of working with that same situation in this conference. How do we build intimacy over Zoom with 1,000 people? We don't know who's watching. How can we be intimate, close up, personal, and still get something out of this? So I'm going to ask you, what can you do to make this close up and personal to you? What brought you to this conference, and what is your actual relationship to embodiment? Have you changed over the course of this week? What's happened for you? I had to look up the word embodiment. I've used it for many years, but I really wasn't sure what it meant. And what it means is actually manifesting something, bringing it from an idea into something that's tangible, that I can hold, I can see. And I weigh it, maybe I can even interact with it. But then I had to think for myself that embodiment means taking my thoughts, taking my feelings, taking my philosophy of life, so to speak, my passions, even my secrets, my aspirations, into living expression, into this moment. So embodiment, that's what we're working toward, and that's also what we're working with. Some of you work in the healing profession, the helping profession. How did you respond to the healer question? Do you call yourself a healer? Do you want to be a healer? For some of us, being a healer is somebody who's a little bit weird. Any of you have that thought of a healer? Maybe they wear a funny hairdo, or they're a little bit odd in their mannerisms. Yes, that might be true. When I think about it, a healer does pay attention to a little broader field than many of us do, because a healer is there to meet the person, to meet the patient, to meet the sick person where he is. He's not as concerned with cultural constraints. But how many of you would like to offer the right touch, the right four words, to help make your client's life a little bit more functional? Who here wouldn't like to do exactly that? Yes. I see you start to raise your hand. But then I also see you go back and recall the last time you went to a healer. And what was that experience like? Yes, your friend's friend said, this person, you're not going to believe it. I walked in and I walked out, my elbow was all fixed. So you need some help. You've got some serious things going on with your body. So you sign up for a session. Make a phone call, you walk in the door, and immediately, okay, you're a little bit ill at ease, but you know, that's to be expected. You don't really know this person, and you're going to need to talk about yourself personally, and oh, here comes this person, and they're smiling really brightly, and so you share for a moment, and all too quickly, lie down on the table. I can fix you. And the next thing you know, either there's an elbow in you or a sharp pointed question, and you recoil, you step back. You're like, wait a minute, is this about me? Am I being resistant here? Or is this healer, this person called a healer, even meeting me? Are they paying attention to me? Or are they so wrapped up in their own need to be a healer, their own identity, that I'm just person number four on the day? So these are some of the pitfalls of being a healer. Another incident that can happen: you're going to your office, you race up the stairs, you want to get there before your client does because you're a little bit late, you had a late night last night, you throw together the room, here comes your client. Your client's a little bit different, it's hard to understand him. Maybe he's from another country, you're not sure. And you do the session, and at the end, he gets out, he pays you, he says thanks, and he leaves. You have no feedback, you have no idea, you don't know if you touch this person at all. You go to lock up the office and, of course, you leave your cell phone behind. At this point, you may think about changing careers. And what's gone wrong there? Embodiment. Everything we've done, everything we've got shows up. When I go rushing up the stairs late for the session, it's going to show up right here in my hands. One of my Esalen coworkers says body work is the hardest thing he's ever done. And when you ask him about it, he says, it's not the massage, he said. It's the fact that when I used to do construction, I could do anything I wanted in the rest of my life. I could go out and get drunk the night before. I could get no sleep. I could arrive at the job exhausted. It really didn't matter. But when I do massage, I need to get there an hour ahead. I need to calm my mind. I need to pay attention to what I eat, what I drink. I do the session. I debrief with my partner, and then I spend some time just taking care of myself. So it's a lot of work, and I love it. And I will add that 20 years later, Tom is still in the bodywork field at the top of his profession. Esalen massage has really longevity. Authentic healers, that's what I'm interested in. Healers who are real, who really bring their inner content forward. They might have studied with their grandmother, they might have studied with the lady next door. They've taken it in and made it part of themselves. They get their knowing from within themselves, the authentic me. From this place, I can reach out and I can see my clients. I can experience them. And I can really interact with them, really make contact. I rely on my own calm, centered place. I rely on being ready to meet them right where they are And I respond to them in this moment. I'm not busy judging them. I'm not busy assessing them. I'm not busy diagnosing them. We're just meeting belly to belly. Sore shoulder? Sure. I ask about the head tipped toward the left. I ask any work issues contributing to this. Then I ask for feedback. If anything doesn't feel right, let me know. I'll be checking in with you. And then the nonverbal, the wonderful part where we move to the table and the session just takes its course. We get to do that wonderful dialogue, flesh. The session takes its course of release, retreat, release, a deep sigh, and a letting go. It's a game of call and response, just like singing in a choir. So, how do you develop this quality? It takes a three-prong approach. In brief, daily practice, gaining full presence through my senses. And we're going to do an exercise for that in a moment. Self-development and soul searching means we take that sensory information in and we sit with it. It might have some meaning, we might have overlooked something, we just sit with it. And then it takes relationship. It takes reaching out and reflection. That may mean reflecting back within that relationship. What's real here when I hear you, when I touch you? How can we work together? It's that bond building again. With our clients, this self-knowledge allows us to fully meet with an emphasis on reflecting. I'm paying attention with all five or six senses and allowing the data in without prejudgment, accepting what is. Ironically, however, modern neuroscience tells us that much of what we think or we believe has already been prepackaged by the brain, based on what we've seen before. And I want to add a word here in this year of many changes. I want to add a word about unconscious bias. This is a big word in the Black Lives Matter movement, and with good reason. We have preconceptions, plain and simple. We learn them as babies from our caregivers. We learn them from our culture. It's painful to recognize these qualities in myself, and it might be painful for you to dig them out. But there it is. And we can't toss the ball until we catch it first. I'm talking here about some serious stuff, about racial prejudice, or prejudice of gender choice, or maybe ethnic superiority. Not pretty, not necessary to us. Holding on to outdated concepts like this keeps us stuck. So these first two practices, daily practice, self-development, they place me in the world. The third practice is reaching out, touching, hearing, feeling who's actually here and allowing connection and contact. I can accept support and I can give support without expectation. So let's break these out. I know at this point you've learned a lot of basic practices, so feel free to abandon what I'm saying and just use your own. Otherwise, come along with me for a tiny little journey. Would you like to experience a moment of presence now? Let's start by simply being yourself. In this posture, you're watching the screen. I'm talking. What's supporting you? What's under you? Maybe you're sitting on your bum. Where are your feet, and are they warm enough or cool enough? Do you need to shift to become more comfortable? What thoughts do you need to turn off, to put on the back burner for an hour or so? What about your breath? What about your breath? At this time of pandemic in the world, our breath has taken center stage. It's always taken center stage, but we haven't always noticed it there. And it's something to be grateful for, you know, and there is that saying, with every breath we take. What changes if you close your eyes and you simply listen to my voice? What are the sounds around you? Is there anything else you can do to be more comfortable in this moment? Just being here with the screen in this place. And I'm taking a deeper breath, slowing down. I enjoy this place. I like it. And I'm enjoying hanging out with you. So breaking down these three topics, my daily practice, it's very simple. A short period of sitting, enjoying my hot morning beverage, and then I usually stand in my garden, California, or I stand up on top of a hill. So please join me, resting your feet securely on the earth. Perhaps you can even sense a pulsation. Might be my pulsation, it might be the pulsation of the earth. Here's a brief video if you want to visit my home base, the Esalen Institute. I can
It seems we are having a slight technical issue, and hopefully we'll be able to get the video back on in a moment.
Yeah, just a little patience. Sorry, something jumped and interrupted the video. So just a quick moment. Hopefully it'll catch up. You're welcome to type in the worst Zoom bloopers you've seen in the conference while we navigate this one.
That's a great idea. Or if anyone else would like to let us know where you're from while we're waiting. Yeah, go ahead.
We're close. I'm sorry, folks. I think we're going to have to repeat a little bit. I'm sorry.
Well, in the meantime, I'm just going to say hello to Jill, who's calling in from London, Ontario. We have Catrice from Richmond, Virginia. Ala from Winnipeg, Canada. Welcome, everyone. And again, we apologize for the slight technical challenges. We will be right up in a moment. There we go.
To this massage. Accurate reflection.
Is that the right spot?
My modality often is massage. When I see my client lay down his guard with a gentle shift of the shoulders, I know it's time to get on the table. Not before. That trust needs to raise its head. And I'm going to show you now a brief video of the Esalen massage interview that I shot last week. I'd never met this client before. This is in our massage rooms down in our beautiful hot springs. I see Kirsten. She is smiling. She's self-possessed. And I reach forward to meet her, and she mirrors my body. Did you see that? We both did a little almost Asian bowing to each other. I ask her how she is, and she wiggles her shoulders. She tells me she's been moving, and that it hurts her back. She touches her back. She lets me know her back. But there's not a lot. And she also tells me with that gesture that she's really looking forward to this massage. And you'll notice that these days we are both wearing face masks so that we can practice this session safely. I see that she has a sense of fun in her body, and I'm anticipating that it will be a pleasure to give this massage. And yet I also notice that she's seeking to please me, and there might be something under that. Something might lie under the surface. She's here because she wants to be fuller. She wants to have more, be more in touch with all of her capacities. So, let's go. Oh, I also ask her how to signal to me if anything doesn't feel good. So she can either use her voice to tell me that it doesn't feel good so that we stay in connection, or she can lightly raise her hand. And she hears that, she lets me know, and she's ready now to lie down on her stomach. And I must say the session went really well. You'll see more in a moment. I'm going to show you now a little something about Esalen massage. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's a massage that was born down in our hot springs, and you'll see the same waves that were present earlier. You'll see that they are giving me a sense of rhythm through the massage. So I start out checking in with myself, gathering my own energy in, just as I did with that Tai Chi earlier. I wait while she gets totally comfortable on the table with the face cradle. And I let her know that at the end of the massage, she'll have some time to just simply lie there, to integrate the experience. And I also say a word or two about what we're going to be doing. So you can see here the ocean and my hands mirroring each other. And I gently make contact with her. Very subtle, this opening part. There's a natural tendency in all beings to check out the touch. Who is this? Is this going to be pleasure? Is this going to be pain? And then once she takes the deep breath, then I can begin to move in with a little deeper compression. Remember, she talked about her back, and I want to let her know right away that I heard that, that my hands remember that. I'm going to move my body a lot while I'm doing this session because I want my weight to be right over my hands so that I can really play with her rib cage. That same sense of breath that we had talked about earlier, making it easier for her now to take a deeper, fuller breath. You'll notice that I'm rocking the body a little bit, and if you're one of the people watching this on late night, feel free to doze off. And it'd be nice to be getting a massage right now. I'm giving her a little rocking on the legs and also a little compression. And there's the balancing both sides. Perhaps you can imagine the sound of the waves in the background as I move her body into alignment. Straightening out the legs, making sure that she has enough support under her ankles, and giving her that sense of three-dimensionality. That's one of the ways that we move into embodiment, by really feeling the whole picture, not just the surface, not just the side of the body that's up, but the whole body. And the legs are particularly an easy way to do this. In Esalen massage, there are no initial oil application strokes. It's all blended into the massage. Every stroke from the very first eye contact is a part of the massage. Balancing the left side and the right side, opening up those joints, and you can do it even as you're watching. Just open up your joints. And notice how you yourself at home can begin to move into a sense of greater self-acceptance and greater relaxation just as you are. Here's one of the famous Esalen long strokes, working right up the body. Careful to keep her well draped, safely draped. And all the way out to the tip of her feet so that she doesn't feel shorted in any way. I can use adding sensory detail. I can use the moving the drape down as a part of the massage. Now coming back into contact. Coming into making some nice strokes up either side of her body. Pressure into the bony ridges of her hip, the ilium, and bringing that stroke again all the way up and over those shoulders. So these are introductory strokes that are common to every Esalen massage, and they're how we bring presence and mindful awareness into the bodywork session so that the receiver here is getting a fuller, multi-dimensional image of her body. Sometimes when we have tension, we have to add a little pressure because tension itself begins to cut off feeling. Any of you notice that? When you get tense, there's just a lot of information that doesn't come in. When you're open, moving into movement, moving into the shoulder, then we can begin to really relax and really be fully who we are, to fully inhabit this body. Lifting that shoulder blade under the shoulder. So she's in this process becoming mindful of more parts of herself than she may have been thinking of. When she said her shoulders were a little tight, she may not have been aware of the tightness under her trapezius or along the side of her shoulder blade. And here we're moving into integrating one side with the other. Integrating one side with the other. And then a nice introduction to the second side of the body, matching, bringing both sides into alignment and into awareness. And always closing with a nice long stroke. Down both arms, integrating the body right and left. And out the neck. So those are some of the basics of an Esalen massage. I hope this was enjoyable for you. I always love watching massage. We once made a video and we found out that hardly anybody had watched it all the way through. Most people had fallen asleep. So our topic at hand. Are you a healer? Or more precisely, are you willing to take on this challenge of soulful work, of connecting with something larger than your self-support, of not getting tangled up in your own story? In other words, of clearing up your own story so that it doesn't catch you like a spider in its web. I have lots of witnesses here, and some of you might have your hands up now. Yes, I'm willing. Think of the vast current that we are building in the world today, all hundreds of thousands of us dedicated to embodiment, dedicated to really living here presently in the human body on this planet, the body of this earth. A move toward a healthy planet is a move toward a world where we can all live healthfully. The other aspect of being a healer, hope. It's up to you. So I know that we have a end with a something for you to take home with you. Whatever you have digested from this, that would be the best thing to take home. My words of wisdom is just do it. But it's up to you to do it. I can't tell you how to be a healer. But somewhere deep within each of us is that ability to reach out, to heal ourselves, and to heal the planet. Thank you.